Okay, so let's start with a Swahili lesson. Habari or Hakuna Matata. One of the two will go. And let me apologize for conning you a little bit on this storytelling, because stories in Africa are not told this way. First of all, you find a space in your grandmother's heart. One of mine has passed away, but usually this is what we would do. We'd go home. We liked telling stories during the cold season because you're warming yourself around a fire. And then once, you know, you get your fire, you go to the farm and get your own maize and come and roast it around the fire. And you can, you know, steal someone else's maize depending on your skills for roasting. And then that's when the stories would start. And the way stories are told in Africa start with proverbs. And I was trying to explain what proverbs are. And they're this. So I think the younger Kenyan would think that proverbs are these idle people that had so much time on their hands, and they thought of these sayings that, you know, every time you're in the wrong, someone has something, you know, to tell you, like, oh, mtanka cha mvunguni lazima iname, which is Swahili for if you want something, you know, below the table or below the bed, you have to, you know, kneel down to get it. And this, you know, is thrown in when you need to work hard or you want the easy way. You know, there's just no situation that there were no proverbs for. But the story I want to tell you about is Coming to America. And there's that movie, and we watched it at one point. And when I say we watched, I'm in my 30s now, and I've seen lots of generational changes. I try to explain to my friends that, you know, when we first got our TV, the way it wasn't colored, so it was a black and white TV. Then to make it colored, they bought this new screen that just had these fixed colors that you'd be seeing, okay, that person is green on their face and orange and yellow somewhere else. And now we do have the normal, you know, TVs, and now we are starting to see the, you know, the LED TVs. So Coming to America, the very first time was actually when I was a medical student to Rhode Island. It was the very first time I'd been on a plane, and it was very protected. And so when I went back, I was like, yeah, you know, the first questions you know, your mom asks is, do they collect money around the streets? And just because of, you know, the perceptions we have back at home. But the real Coming to America was when I came to study as a fellow for informatics, and I didn't realize how lonely I would be, you know, so far away from home. And then, you know, small things start, you know, to come to your mind, like food. I mean, despite packing bags and bags of, you know, ugali flour, and, you know, that was missing, by the way, it accompanies the goats, and, you know, Royco and all this amazing Kenyan food that some people may not think is amazing. You know, I just didn't realize how far I'd feel when, you know, when I came here. And so the way, when you're an immigrant, and I kind of think this applies to almost everyone, you know, you get excited and then reality sets in. And it kind of comes later after the jet lag, you know. And then you start noticing things that you'd never notice, like the cold food that was always served in, you know, as sandwiches. It was free, but it was always cold, and then it's Indiana winter. So that doesn't, you know, cause a lot of homeliness when you come over. And there are many things that have happened. You know, I've learned how to pronounce, you know, the American way for some of the medical terms. And then I have even acquired a pet, which is a bone of contention in my family, and my mom has been trying to call me every day about this. So I have a dog called Simba, and you know, and just even from naming, and my mom, I've been trying to explain to my mother how the dog lives in the house, because Simba, let's say this way, Simba has some relatives in Kenya, and they would not be very happy with him right now, you know? And just because, you know, we use them as guards to guard the compound, and we don't play with our dogs. And yeah, they're supposed to be like dogs, you know? Not like dogs. And, you know, so beyond Simba and trying to tell my mom, because I'm hoping that she's gonna come and visit, that we do bathe Simba. and you know there's special food for Simba, and you have to walk Simba, you know, and there's a park for Simba, and there are people who are paid to walk Simbas, you know, and so there are all these things that every week, you know, in our conversations back home, we find a way of, so who's watching your dog when you're at work, you know, and, you know, all those things. Is he crying? And so it's interesting to experience, like, the dog culture. Back, my parents do have, like, 3 dogs at home. One of them is Simba. And now, when I have another Simba and I tell them what I do with them. But really, one thing that I've appreciated and made, you know, back to my story about coming to America and, you know, loneliness and cold and blah, 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 is really food. And Kenya has, you know, 42 different tribes. Every community has its own food. There is a staple food. I don't like my own community staple food. It's just corn, beans, and you can mash them and you can do many things to them. And that's because it's fed to you throughout school. I just figured that that's enough time to eat your local food. But, you know, coming the very first time, I met a friend, and, you know, I would come here, go out on Sunday dinners with them. And then this, you know, as I've stayed here, I've experienced various generosities of people that I've sort of gotten to know them and know, you know, get to be good friends just through food. And so, you know, the American way may not be, you know, very different, but the most notable thing for me was finding these two. I'm not going to lie and say they're Kenyan because they're not, but they're African, which we are a country, so we can, you know, claim ownership, especially when you want to teach a lesson. And these two gentlemen who live on Alabama would get food every Sunday and cook, and people just got to know, and you'd be walking and you'd come into their house and feed. And, you know, I thought that was like the most African thing that I've enjoyed seeing. And so my story is, when you find another African, just invite them for some food. Thank you.